Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All Employee Network conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded April 2nd, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Michelle Leger, Manager at the Social Security Administration Ticket Program. You may go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the April National Employment Network conference call. My name is Michelle Leger, and I am the EN Development and Training Manager. Thank you for joining us today. I believe we finally are experiencing spring here in McLean, Virginia, and we hope you are too. We have a full agenda today, starting with a few general announcements, a 15-minute presentation from BASS on ticket materials for our employment networks to use, followed by a conversation on highlighting a few of the major questions that we received last month regarding the ticket portal. And then we're going to open up our phone line so that we can hear from you on other questions and concerns you may have regarding the movement towards the new ticket portal. So general announcements, I'd like at this point to just turn it over to Rob Pack, Deputy Associate Commissioner.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us for this call. I wanted to follow up and give you some updates in regards to activities that we currently have underway to address marketing issues following the announcement by David Weaver last week that we were discontinuing the marketing CD. Just to get everyone up to speed, for those who may not be aware, we will restart mailing our ticket to work notifications to beneficiaries beginning April 15th of this month. We will target about 60,000 beneficiaries with these notices. Again, that starts April 15th. And we also want to remind you that we are continuing, while we start this process of mailing the notifications, to also conduct the targeted auto dial calls to beneficiaries monthly as well. Right now, we currently make about 20,000 calls to beneficiaries monthly to inform them of their eligibility to participate in the ticket program. So what they'll be getting basically is the good newsletter informing them that they can participate in a ticket program, as well as the brochure that informs them, gives them an overview of the program. The next piece of information we wanted to share is that we appreciate the feedback that we received concerning the marketing CD, and we're taking this information to help us or help inform us to target beneficiaries, characteristics, and things that you think are helpful when you're conducting your own outreach to beneficiaries. So so those comments have been helpful, and we are using those moving forward. And we'll continue to reach out to you to get that feedback when we put together our summits, which are the marketing summits, which I want to talk about in a moment, but which David mentioned in his message as well. Just to summarize the activities that we've engaged in following the discontinuation of the CD, we've conducted discussions with the following entities concerning opportunities to expand marketing efforts. Mm-hmm. The first entity that we've held discussions with is our own Office of Communications internally, and we're discussing ways that we can increase the profile of the ticket to work information that's contained on our SSA.gov homepage, as well as the inclusion of ticket to work information in the Office of Communications Faces and Facts of Disability campaign. So those discussions are ongoing. We're hoping to get make some progress in a relatively short amount of time so that we can increase visibility in at the very least those two areas, but conversations will continue to stem beyond that as well. We're working with our contractors, our marketing contractors, to discuss opportunities to develop supplemental information that we can send out to beneficiaries. That's in the planning stages as well. And we've conducted a marketing discussion with Nina that was held yesterday to walk through some ideas concerning the marketing summit and to obtain ideas about specific marketing needs during the call that we had yesterday. So with that in mind, those are three areas we're engaged in, but we're also to move forward a little bit and talk a little bit about the marketing summit that was mentioned by David. We're working to develop the framework for these summits. What we're seeking is a way to conduct effective engagement with the EN community to get your feedback as far as those things that we can do to help support marketing to beneficiaries. When we spoke with Nina yesterday, they were kind enough to agree to allow us to add a marketing summit session to their agenda for their upcoming meeting that is scheduled to be held in September. But we are also planning to hold summits in the short term as well. And when we get information concerning the format and the structure for those meetings, we will inform you of the dates and times for those discussions. Let me just provide a little bit of information concerning the reason for the marketing summit and what we hope to obtain from these gatherings. What we really want to do is we want to engage the EN community to obtain the specific things that we can do to help support EN's market their services to beneficiaries and to market the program in general. We're looking for ideas or techniques that you're currently engaged in with your individual business, be it a small business or a larger organization. We're looking for as many ideas and techniques and things that you are engaged in as we can possibly obtain. And we'd like to use that information in an effective way. We also are interested in getting a sense from you about the characteristics of the individuals that you're actually placing into jobs. We'd like to try to get an idea of the populations that you find your efforts are most effectively having an impact in that regards, and whether we can take this information internally to help target materials and information in a more effective manner. So basically, those are the things I wanted to share with you this afternoon in regards to the activities we have underway. We will continue to share information with you, and as I indicated, we will seek to obtain your feedback and to notify you of the summits that we are working on. So with that in mind, I thank you for all of your efforts and your patience with us during this time of transition, and I'll turn it back over to Michelle.
Thank you, Rob. We actually have a few questions on our chat line. Do you have a moment to take at least one or two questions?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Keitra, would you, if you can summarize maybe the questions and roll them up into one question?
Okay, the first question was just kind of a general question in reference to the success rate of the mailings that will be sent out. I guess it has that been considered in what you're working on with coming up with those mailings, the effectiveness of actually direct mailing information to beneficiaries?
Since we're about to relaunch the mailings this month, well, we don't have any data that on that specific issue, but I guess what we would like to know from EN's is in relating to those things that that EN's may be mailing to beneficiaries to generate business, what do they find most effective in response rates? That might be a starting point for us.
Okay, thank you. And we just have one other question.
One other question is, what is the criteria for the 60,000 mailings that will be going out? The criteria, I guess, for which beneficiaries are selected for that mailing.
The criteria is right now age. It's between the ages of 18 and 56 that we're targeting.
Of newly entitled beneficiaries.
And mark added of newly entitled beneficiaries.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
And that's exciting. We're all looking forward to those discussions and the rollout of those materials and the future of that. Just as an update, and many of you are probably already aware of this if you've tried to access the Cuber, on March the 6th, GovDelivery delivery message was sent out to all of the employment networks. Effective March the 12th, the Cuber report was no longer available. And with that announcement, it did include new and exciting business processes to eliminate administrative burden for our employment networks around access to payment information regarding beneficiaries' work and their wages. So we look forward to what that new system will look like and how it will be used as part of our automatic payment process within the new ticket portal. And that's all that we have at this point on that topic. I would now like to move on to our presentation from Ann Gore from BAS, Beneficiary Access and Support Services Team. Ann is going to walk us through a PowerPoint on their toolkit that they have developed on materials available to our employment networks. Ann, I'll turn it over to you, Ticket to Work Free Materials for Service Providers.
Thank you, Michelle. So this is Ann Gordon speaking, and thanks for the opportunity to present today. Some of the information that I'm going to talk about today you may have seen previously or hopefully seen our invitation to order free materials through the ChooseWork site, and I'll get to that URL towards the end of the presentation. But what the marketing conversations we're having these days is really a good opportunity to call attention to some of the other materials that we have on our site that are really intended for beneficiaries, but that ENs and service providers can benefit from as well. So if you want to go ahead to, it would be slide 3, Ticket to Work Free Materials for Service Providers. There's a snapshot of all of the different types of materials that we have available on our website. I'm going to go through a couple of them and then show you how to order free materials at the end of the presentation. Moving into the agenda slide, just wanted to talk to you a little bit about what it is we'll be talking about today, so the contents and then some special updates, new material that we've added since the last time I gave this presentation to this group, and, of course, announced the ability to order some of these free materials. All right, the next one is the introduction slide with my picture on it. We've already done that. And then on slide 6, and I apologize, something got messed up with the format here of the background, but what it says at the top is Service Provider Toolkit. It was created to support the activities of employment networks, vocational rehabilitation agencies, WIPA projects, and other disability employment-focused organizations who may be helping beneficiaries on the path to financial independence. Our toolkit includes a poster, customizable flyers, fact sheets, success stories of people who've used Ticket to Find Work in both print and video formats, other videos, wallet cards in English and Spanish, a newsletter article that's ready to go and ready for publication, online tutorials and learning modules, which are a complement to our monthly webinars, and some program branding. All right, next slide, service provider toolkit location, where to find it. If you go to the ChooseWorks.net website, at the very bottom, you'll see a link to the Visit the Site for Service Providers. In that block of text, you can click on the words. You can also download our Service Provider Toolkit here. You can also find it by just using the search feature. If you type in provider resources into the search field, which is found at the top of the website, it'll take you right there. So hopefully that's pretty clear. All right, the next slide showcases our 24x36 inch Ticket to Work poster. This is a standard large poster size. We have hard copies of these available for you to get for free. You can use them in large public spaces, reception areas, and you can also tailor it. In the lower left-hand corner, there's a space for contact information. And you can either print out, an Avery, big Avery label with your information on it that's printed, or you could just use a Sharpie to write in your name and contact info. But it's a really big piece that it can be seen in big public spaces. If you would like the print-ready file to put your logo on it or add your information in, we can send those files to you. If you want to work with a commercial printer to get the posters printed with your logo on it. And all of the instructions are there for that. The next slide, and again, I apologize, I don't know what happened with the background on this. The top reads wallet cards in English and Spanish. We have two wallet cards available. These are full color, they fold in the middle, and the back side is blank, which you can use a plain Avery address label, an Avery 2160 label. And we have a template for that on our website, and you can just enter in your information, print those out, and place the labels on the back of the wallet cards to make it customized to your organization. It lists basic information about the free employment support services offered through Ticket to Work, where to go for more information, and offers a couple of the other just kind of basic takeaways like eligibility criteria, SSCI and or SSI, and some of the protections in place that Ticket Participation and Ticket to Work offers. These are in English and they're in Spanish. Again, if you would like to get the print files for these, we can send those directly to you for local commercial printing, but we also make them available in packs of 100 that you can order. Moving to the next slide is a customizable 8.5x11 flyer. That's the same size as a piece of regular printer paper. We have it set up on our website so that you can just download the Word, Microsoft Word file. Mouse over the contact info area on the flyer, enter in your name and contact information, and hit print. And it's the same concept as the big poster. It's just a smaller version. You could use it as a flyer to put on tables or hang in hallways and other public spaces. The next number, next slide, slide 11, is a newsletter article. If you ever work with local organizations, chapter affiliates of large disability-related organizations, many of them have e-newsletters or even print paper newsletters that get sent out in the mail. We created a basic customizable news article where you can put your name and contact info in at the end of it, and it's all ready to go. Gives basic program information, can be tailored, but it's easy content to use in other organizations' channels to reach their membership. You can also use social media to help promote it. The next slide, fact sheets. We have several fact sheets on our website. One is around debunking the three biggest myths. For most of us who've been working with beneficiaries, we know that there are fears around, you know, keeping health care, keeping benefits, continuing disability reviews. And this fact sheet really debunks those myths and helps give the facts. So if you need copies of these, you can just download, print, keep them, you know, in your office or hand them out at events. A very good resource to have when working with the public. The next slide, Ticket to Work online tutorials. We created online learning modules or online tutorials as a complement to our monthly WISE webinars. We realized that there are some beneficiaries and especially family members, community partners, and other loved ones who want to step into an environment where they can learn about Ticket to Work and what goes on with, you know, assigning a ticket and pursuing a path to financial independence. And we created these short learning modules. There's five total. There are knowledge checks in there, so they have, you know, some kind of quizzes to help with information retention. They're on our website, so we recommend either, you know, providing the link to someone to use, or if you have clients or candidates for a ticket come into your office and you have a workstation where they can sit down and complete these tutorials to get an introduction to Ticket. We've seen good numbers on these on our website every month. People are viewing these, and so we continue to promote them and think that they would be a great tool for service providers to use with clients. The next slide, success story radio script. Every so often at the national level, we'll place a a newsletter article or a newspaper article and a radio public service announcement at radio stations across the country. And we have the radio script available for you to use. We just ask that you email us directly to get it so that we can just explain a little bit about the way that it's formatted and make sure you have what you need to use it with local radio. So if you want that, just send an email to choosework@gmail.com. We monitor that email box, and we can give you a few instructions. It's a 60-second public service announcement featuring Rob McLean, one of our success stories, gives details about his path to financial independence in a very short period of time, and as a call to action, directs beneficiaries to the Ticket to Help or Ticket to Work helpline and our website, and that could be tailored for your organization if you want, which is part of the reason why we want to talk to you a little bit if you want to use that script on your own. The next slide, slide 15, our success stories. I just mentioned Rob McLean. We have a lot of success stories that run the spectrum in terms of disability type, age and other demographic factors, and experiences with ticket and work incentives. And they're all tagged according to those, you know, characteristics with their story. So we recommend either, you know, printing some of the PDFs here that we have that are all laid out and ready and easy to hand out again at community events, or having, you know, be able to lay out on table or hand out as part of a literature rack. And we also have videos, lots of videos of success stories of individuals in their own words who talk about how Ticket to Work and work incentives help them achieve financial independence. Slide 16, we have a number of logos, seals, and banners to help you identify as an authorized Ticket to Work service provider. We realize that many beneficiaries who call the Ticket to Work helpline get a list of employment networks, you know, who serve their zip code, and we think it's a good idea for, you know, service providers and ENs to at least have something that associates them with Ticket to Work on their website, as those beneficiaries or their family members or loved ones may do some of their own due diligence to see if the organizations that they get on that list are connected with Ticket, and it's, make sure it's not a scam. So we tried to make it easy for you to do that. So there are these logos and banners on our website. Most of them are created to fit basic spaces on website formats, and so you can just right-click, download. We provide instructions on how to use them, and if you have any questions, I know you can direct those to your EN specialists who can, you know, rope us in to help with that too. But we make all those things available on the website. Next is our Meet Ben video. Similar to our online tutorials, this is a 4-minute motion graphics piece. It doesn't have knowledge checks like our online tutorials do, but it is a 4-minute motion graphics piece that explains what Ticket to Work is and follows Ben on his path to employment. It defines service providers, it defines the different disability types, it mentions some work incentives. And we can have it, you know, you can have it looped. It's on our YouTube channel. We have it on disc. We can send to you for playing in a DVD player or on a computer in a CD player. We also have a very short version of this. It's about 30 seconds. It's just the basics of who's eligible and what Ticket offers in the field offices. If you ever go into a field office with a closed-circuit TV system that's just looping content, you'll see Meet Ben up on those screens looping with basic information about Ticket. Our next slide is actually something that's brand new as of late last week. We spent several months filming a 3-part series with Kelly Jaksik from ORDES at Social Security. She explains Ticket to Work using American Sign Language, and we are working on promoting this to the deaf community. So if you have individuals who use American Sign Language or have a relationship with organizations that use that language or within the deaf community, again, we have the video available on our website. We can send it in CD or DVD format. And again, just another way to help get the word out amongst this particular disability group. Slide 19, updates to the toolkit. We do update it periodically. We try to send out an announcement through the Awesome Listserv anytime there's something new or noteworthy that we think ENs might be interested in, so make sure you pay attention to those announcements when they come out. If you don't follow us on Facebook or Twitter, then and you have one on, you have social media of your own, by following us, you can get most of the updates that we're making to beneficiaries, and you can also repurpose that content on your own Facebook and Twitter social media properties, and that way you can have ticket to work content without really having to do much if you use it and share it and it appears in your feeds. Plus, you'll find out what it is that we're talking about that particular month or related to particular products that we're putting together for beneficiaries. And slide 20, to the exciting announcement, we've had 339 providers order materials from us. If anybody on the call right now hasn't, please do so. Go to www.choosework.net/order, and you can get wallet cards, posters, the Meet Ben videos, in the formats that you need. We will be shipping those out in probably late April. We plan to close the order form at midnight on April 10th. You have a couple of days to get your order in, but we make this available at least once a year and on ad hoc as needed basis for ENs to get some of these beneficiary-focused materials for you to use, in addition to downloading anytime. Any questions that I can take from the group? We also have the link right here to the provider resources. If you just want to go ahead and bookmark that, that may be a good idea for you to have to fumble around to try to find it on our website if that's a concern.
And thank you. Yes, we do have a couple of questions, but I just want to say thank you for that overview. The toolkit appears very flexible and usable on very different levels of media, so that's will be a great resource to our employment networks. We have two questions, Keitra, for Ann.
Yes, it's actually one question with two parts. Is it possible to find out what radio stations are running that ad and when they're running that ad?
So this is Ann speaking. I don't think that radio stations are running it currently. We have some historical data on radio stations that have run it in the past, as in more than a year ago. So there's probably no harm if you want to reach out to your local radio stations and ask them to read the PSA on the air, because there's probably no conflict at this time, if that's what your concern is.
Okay. Was there a follow-up question to that, or was Keitra? No. Okay. Thank you again, Ann. And I'm sure you will have many requests coming through following the call today. Thank you again. Moving on to our next agenda topic. During our March call, we had a demonstration of the ticket portal, and we wanted to continue that conversation. We received so many questions and answers, and we know that we had to conclude the call where we know that some of those questions were not answered during that period of time. We have posted the responses to many of the questions we received during the call. However, we thought it would be good just to identify major areas that were brought to our attention and to, again, have that conversation on the ticket portal. Accessing the ticket portal, a few payment questions, particularly around the fax machine, and some other logistical processes that we receive concerns about. So to begin with, I have two of my colleagues here to help me with going through this list. And again, we're not going verbatim. I have Adele Barr from Program Integrity and Deborah Tennessee from the Payment Department. So, Adele, we're going to start with the ticket portal. There were several questions around how do I eventually gain access to the portal? What do I need to do to receive permission at some point in time when it goes live to gain access? What do I have to do?
Thank you, Michelle. There are a few steps involved, and hopefully I can express them accordingly. Number one, of course, suitability clearance must be completed. There must also be the registration of your MySSA.gov account with extra security. Once those are completed, then you want to contact your Employment Network Service Branch specialist or your ENSB specialist, or send an email to enservice@ssa.gov to let your Social Security know that you have created your MySSA account with extra security and that you have cleared suitability. Once that contact has been made, what will then happen is your specialist will request your Social Security number and your user ID. Additionally, you will also need to complete your Social Security SSA Form 222, which is your, let me see if I can recall. I have that written right here, your Security Awareness Form. And just a reminder about that Security Securance Form, this is found on our Ticket to Work website. And as a reminder, it is not a new form. It is actually a form that completed annually by EN. But just as a reminder, that's what will be needed. And I did want to touch a little bit about suitability. I think sometimes that's an implied question. Usually suitability takes 30 days to complete, taking into consideration that all the requirements have been submitted correctly and all the information requested has been submitted. So that could be an implied question to that. How long? That's all dependent on the information and how it's received. So hopefully that helps answer that question.
So and going back again, because we did have so many questions on this topic, again, the Employment Network Services Board Specialist, ENSB, is their go-to person on anything related to the ticket portal and accessing the ticket portal. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And as far as when the individual has received suitability clearance and they've created MySSA account, again, what happens after that? Who do they need to contact after that?
Their ENSB specialist directly, if they already know who that is, or sending an email to enservice@ssa.gov and let them be aware that they've completed those steps. Those following steps would be from the specialist requesting the individual's Social Security number and their user ID along with the security awareness form.
Great. Thank you. I'm sure we'll still get more questions on that, but it doesn't hurt to repeat them just for our employment networks listening in today.
No, not at all.
Thank you. Deborah, Tennessee, we know that the quarterly beneficiary earnings report, the QBER report, is no longer available online. Can you tell us how will, as far as what we know right now, what information will be available or are we planning to make available in the future around that? And how does ePay impact that process?
As stated earlier in this this meeting, the QBER is no longer available. Social Security will not create it for access by EN. However, we will be implementing an auto pay process in early summer. And how that will work, we will use qualifying earnings and Social Security's database as a basis to identify potential beneficiaries where there may be a payment available. And just so ENs know, QBER is not the only source of earnings information that will be accessed. Social Security receives earning information from the IRS based on taxes that are reported. Social Security verifies monthly earnings, and there are other earnings that are reported, especially to Social Security for SSI beneficiaries. So there are a number of sources where Social Security has earnings stored, and which this is a much, much better way because the QBER reports were just leads for earnings. But now Social Security will search all their databases for potential earnings, and these will be leads because at the very beginning, we still will have staff working these cases. At some time later, the Social Security system, ticket to work system, payment system will actually produce the earnings, the payment transactions on a file to Treasury. But at the very beginning, a search of Social Security systems will be made for all their earnings database to identify potential earnings
wherein may be eligible for payment.
Thank you, Deborah. Let's talk a little bit about faxing and uploading pay stubs. Can you give us an overview of how that's going to happen with the new ticket portal? First off, can we upload into the ticket portal? And what's the impact on faxing the pay stubs?
Well, this is one I can answer that because right now we do have a pilot ongoing with the new ticket portal. And with those pilot ENs, we are receiving payment requests through the ticket portal. And I want to tell you that submitting your payment request through the ticket portal is a much, much more efficient way of getting your payments claims into the system, into a queue, and processed faster. Now, the question about faxing pay stubs. Once an EN submits a payment request or enters information in the portal for a payment request, and there's basic information, social security number, claim number, and a selected payment method, after entering all that information, at one point, the EN can check off an option, proof of earnings will be faxed in. The ticket portal does not have upload capabilities. However, for currently for ticket payment requests submitted through the ticket portal, EN must submit evidentiary information. So since we don't have an upload function in the ticket portal, once you submit your payment request, you have the capability to at some point fax your earnings information in. So if you do, if you are faxing in information, you must check off that box, proof of earnings will be faxed in. Once that happens, the portal will allow you to print what we call a cover sheet for the fax, for fax purposes. That will be only one cover sheet. It will have what we call a document reference number. In essence, what that really is a work case number. So at the point you provide information into the portal for a claim for us to process, the system will create a work case number for you. And most of you ENs are familiar with that, what a work case number is. Now, you still have to give us some earnings evidence. So once you print off that fax cover sheet, you can attach to that fax cover sheet or add to that fax cover sheet as many pay stubs as you want. However, you can only use that fax cover sheet one time. You could put 40 pay stubs behind that one fax sheet. You could put one pay stub. But you can only use that fax sheet one time to submit any evidentiary or additional earnings information. Now, if you do that and you realize later, oh, I forgot two pay stubs, I should have done this, remember this, you can only use that cover sheet at this time once. So if you have additional information that that you need to send in, you must use the current ticket Maximus portal to submit your payment request either through that portal or you could fax them in to the awesome fax portal. I mean, excuse me, fax number. It takes a little bit longer to get those associated because it's not an automatic association like it is with the ticket portal. However, one thing I do caution you, if you are going to send in additional information and you're for a particular work case that you've already submitted information for, if you're going to send us additional information through the awesome portal or fax it to the awesome fax number, please annotate on your cover sheet or whatever it is that you're submitting, the work number of the case, so that when that information does come into Social Security's ticket to work system, we can associate those that additional information with the current work case.
Thank you, Deborah. Adele, IWPs, what is the function now within the ticket portal? How is that going to be handled?
What will happen, this is more of an impact for new ENs because the expectation is that we still need to review at least the first 10 IWPs from a new EN, and they will not at this moment be able to upload that into the portal, so those will still have to be faxed to our awesome number. So that is the impact. Otherwise, everyone else can actually submit that information right on online and have their tickets assigned.
Very good. The future of the interactive voice recognition system, can you give us an update on that? I know that it hasn't changed, but Is it going to be available in the future?
Right. As you stated, it hasn't changed. However, the IVR will be discontinued once the ticket portal is rolled out.
Okay. And will all the previous ticket assigned history information in the old portal, our secure portal now, be transferred over to the new ticket portal?
Yes, as we know it, all of your assignment history will be in the new ticket portal.
Thank you, Adele. And thank you, Deborah. For the sake of time, we're going to stop with the overview of the major questions. We had several questions additionally on payments, but I do know that we have an all-call payments call later in the month, and many of these questions will be addressed during that call and how they will be impacted through the new ticket portal. We would now like to go to the chat line and see if there are any questions we can share with the audience today. Petra?
We do have a number of questions, and thank you, everyone, for your questions. The first question is it possible to promote Ticket to Work in the local SSA field offices or to the local WIPA?
And I'm going to ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Rob. It's ironic because when we were engaged in conversations with our Office of Communications this week, we talked about this. The field offices, I believe, and we can find out for sure, but there are some pretty tight policies about information that can be displayed. From what I understand, whatever is displayed in the field office has to go through an approval process, and it is SSA materials that are displayed in field offices. So proprietary things, if you can imagine a field office with as much traction and traffic that they get, they are the target, they would be the target of a lot of solicitation efforts if the general public were allowed to go there and to promote their various businesses because of all the people that come in and out of those facilities. So they have to limit, they have to place limits, and they're pretty stringent limits on what is displayed. And I know that even for us programmatically, for the Ticket to Work program, you know, when we discuss putting our own materials in those offices, we have to work with our operational components to get approval and so forth. I know that I believe that the Ben video that was shown during this presentation is on some of the monitors, TV monitors and so forth, in the field offices nationwide. I don't know to what extent that's shown in every single field office, and I can't give you an idea of how often that's shown every day, but I know that that information is out there.
Thank you, Rob. We actually have one additional question we would like to bring to your attention.
Sure.
The question is, when is the first marketing summit?
We will get back to you with a date for that. We are putting together, in addition to a schedule, we are also working on the format for those meetings and the agenda as well. So stay tuned. We will communicate that to you when we have that information available.
Thank you, Rob. Operator, we'd like to take a few questions from our callers.
Thank you. At this time, to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Sharon Newman.
Yes, I know it's off the grid, but I haven't received my 1099 yet. How do we go about getting a copy of that?
Ian, are you with Sharon?
Yes.
What Ian are you with?
I am the owner at Alliance of Diversity.
Okay. Please contact your account specialist. We have provided our account specialist at Maximus with that information as far as how to go about getting your 1099.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, operator.
To ask an audio question, please press star 1. And there are no further questions at this time.
Oh, all right. We'll go back to our chat line questions.
Okay. The next question is back to the comments that were given about the robocalls. In which region are the robocalls being made? Which regions of the United States are the robocalls being made?
This is Rob. Those calls are national calls, so they go out nationwide.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, next. Is there a limit on the number of items that can be ordered with the free marketing materials? Is it still 5 per each item?
Ann, are you still on our call from Bass?
I am. Hi.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Ann Gordon. So we offer the wallet cards in packs of 300, or they come in packs of 100, and I think you can order up to 600 total. You can pick whichever combination you want, you know, 100 in Spanish, 500 in English. And then I think it's for the posters, probably 5. But if you need more, just send us a note at choosework@gmail.com, and we can probably get you some more. It's not a big deal.
Very good. Operator, do we have a call?
Have an audio question from the what line of Les Robertson?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good, good. This is just a general question about the all EN calls. Is there any thought to returning the all workforce EN calls instead of just the newsletter that we can't really ask questions and participate in?
We will take that under consideration. So can I ask you, which workforce agency are you calling from?
Managed Career Solutions in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. All right. We, as you know, due to attendance and demand, we were basically identifying the need, and so that's something that we can take under consideration.
This is Kara from SSA. Actually, we are not going to have those calls because there used to be a special workforce agreement, BPA. Now you're under a regular EN BPA, so you're included in these calls. This does. You can ask whatever question. We can address your needs in this call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anne, I had another question for you in reference to the marketing materials. The question was, can these marketing materials be sent to 2 different locations?
This is Anne speaking. I think our form asks or requests that it goes to 1 specific address just for, you know, shipping simplification purposes. What I would recommend is you order, you put in 2 orders, and behind your name just write 1 of 2 and then 2 of 2, so we know that you're putting in 2 different orders to go to 2 different addresses. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you, Anne.
Okay.
An operator, do we have anyone that's called in?
Again, to ask an audio question, please press *1. And there are no further questions.
Thank you, operator. Keisha, I'll go back to you for the chat question.
The next question I have is, what is the process if you choose not to use the new ticket portal?
Well, that is a very broad
question. Yeah.
As far as what are your options?
Okay, the SSA will take it. If you choose not to use the portal, then you will, of course, be able to send in your payments and your ticket assignments through fax, the old paper process, but you will be giving up some of the privileges that you currently have. You won't be able to get your reports or things like that because you should be getting those through the portal. So if you choose not to use the portal, you know, the only thing you will be able to do is ticket assignments and payments.
Thank you. Next question from our chat line. No further questions. Operator, do we have a call
there? I have a question from the line of Judy Sanderson.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'm just curious. I know it's been asked before, and I just thought I'd ask again. Any projected start date for the new portal yet? I mean, for after the pilot's done.
But we don't want to tell them.
anticipated late spring.
Okay. It's still pretty loose. Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Do we have another call?
Other questions at this time?
No further questions at this time? And no other questions on our chat line?
No.
All right. Any closing comments from Social Security Administration? Nope. We will then say thank you all for calling in today. We do appreciate your time. And we look forward to you dialing in next month, Tuesday, May the 7th. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you. This concludes our call.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Presenters, please hold the lines.